All right, if you would turn to Exodus 25, 31 through 40. Today we're going to continue our study of that marvelous piece in the holy place called the golden candlestick, which was placed there to bring light to the holy place. Verse 31, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made." Now, when the Word of God is read, if you don't pay any attention any other time, we ought to sit up and take notice. You know, my words are just the words of another human being, but God's words are God's words. They ought to make us have a straight backbone, not a casual position or a casual mind, but a mind that pays attention. So Moses is being instructed by God, and God says, "Make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side, and three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower, so in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold, and thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold, of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount." Now, God gave here to Moses clear and specific instructions on how to fashion this golden candlestick, which was to provide light to the holy place out of one piece of gold. You know, Moses could have taken that information from God and told it to the craftsman, and most likely the craftsman would have said, "You know, it would be a lot easier to make out of many pieces of gold. I could have many craftsmen working, and then we could put them together. Don't you think that would be good, Moses?" And Moses may have scratched his head, and he thought about it, and he might have said, "Well, no, God specifically said one piece of beaten gold." Now, the craftsman didn't know why. Moses perhaps didn't know why, but God knew why. And God knew that someday someone would be standing before you proclaiming the Word of God and the candlestick as symbolic of your Savior, Jesus Christ. So God gives specific instructions, and ours is not to reason why, but ours is but to do or die. You know, the Word of God is not ours to manipulate according to our desires. We follow it as God has given it to us. The culture comes along and says, well, this doesn't seem right. So historically, the church has bent to the culture and reinterpreted the scriptures according to the culture, but then the culture changes and they do it again. But God gave clear and specific instructions. Now, the lampstand had a central shaft, which we call the main shaft. And from this shaft proceeded 6 branches, 3 on either side of the main shaft. You've seen pictures of it. And I hesitate to present a picture because I can't find a picture that I think matches the scriptures. You can go online and find dozens of pictures of this candlestick, and they're all different. But we'll go by what the scripture says, and then God will perhaps give you a picture in your head. But under each pair of branches, there was a knop or knob upholding them. Where the branches met the shaft, there was a knob or knop. There were a total of 3 such knops on the main shaft. So with the main shaft and the 6 branches, there were to be 7 lighted lamps with instructions that they burn continually before the Lord. God's light does not go out. Oh, we look around on this world and we see darkness coming in, but Paul said, when the darkness is greatest, the light is brightest. You know, you go out into the outside with a candle and you can't tell if it's on or not, but you go out in the darkness, oh, that candle burns bright. So the lamps were to burn continually before the Lord. Now, when we look at this in our minds, the shaft and the branches are the first things that we notice. We also notice in the scriptures that they are spoken of with the use of the personal pronoun, his. We meet the words his shaft and his branches. Personalized personal pronouns. So it is obvious that this refers to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for on many occasions in Scripture, he is referred to as the branch. In Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I love that. See, that's eternity's values in view right there. Behold, the days come. When are they coming, Lord? They're coming. He says, just behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. We're looking for it. It's come. It's going to come again. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Oh, how this earth longs for God's justice and judgment. You know, the earth is moaning. God has so arranged this earth that it moans and groans for God's judgment and justice. That earthquake was a call by the earth for the king to come. And in Isaiah 4:2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. You know, Israel will be peaceful again because the Prince of Peace will be there. And in Isaiah 11, 1 through 3, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wouldn't you like to have a leader with those spirits in him? And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He'll judge righteous judgment. Now, this union between the branches and the shaft speaks of the union between Christ and his body, the church. John makes reference to this in the 15th chapter of John, saying, "He is the vine, we are the branches." You know, my wife and I have been clearing some of our property. And we go in there and, you know, you fight those vines that have those bulbs attached. And some of them that have been let go are, 3/8, a half inch thick. And then you go in there and you have little trees that are in the way. You don't want those trees, and you cut them off, and you know, there's no attachment any longer of that tree to the roots, and immediately they die. But here, this candlestick shows us that we're connected to the shaft. We're connected to the vine as the branches. He is the vine. We are the branches. He is the source. We are that which lives from the source. Aren't you glad that you'll never be cut off of the vine? You're part of the vine when you're born into the family of God, and God will never come and cut you off. Oh, he'll prune you a little bit. Take off some of the things that are not healthy for the branch. But the branches of the candlestick proceed out of the center shaft as the branches proceed out of the vine. Here's the picture. Jesus said he is the light of the world, and he also said ye are the light of the world. You know, you're a walking branch in this world if you know the scriptures, if you know God. Little tapers walking around the world of light. He is the main shaft of the candlestick, providing light. We are the branches of the candlestick, also providing light, because we are attached to the shaft. That's the only reason we can provide light. I've got no light of my own. I've got no oil of my own. The oil has to be given to me. The light has to be given to me. And any light that I proclaim comes from God himself. Now, it's interesting to see that God chose to make six branches, six being the number ascribed to man. Now, the ornamentation of the candlestick was made out of three items: knops, flowers, and bowls. Three bowls in verse 33, made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the sixth branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And you know, when you read this scripture, you ought to construct this in your head. Get a better picture for things. It's so easy to read that and go, ho-hum. But you know, you can read this and let's see now, how does that work? And, oh, I can see that. And that, oh, that fits together there. And then if you don't know what knop means, look it up. So easy to look up things, isn't it, today? Don't even have to get a book. Punch a few keys and Wikipedia comes up and there it is, knop. Somebody named Knop, got to throw him out because that's not what they're talking about. And there shall be a knop under the two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same. Two branches coming, there's a knop. Two branches, there's a knop. Two branches, there's a knop. See? According to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick, their knops and their branches shall be of the same, and all it shall be of one beaten work of pure gold. Now, this interesting language that is used here, because the language used in this instruction regarding these items shows a similarity to that which happened when Aaron's rod budded. Remember that story of Aaron's rod budded? All the priests brought their rods in to see who was going to be the high priest, and God caused Aaron's rod to bud, and he was the high priest. So it's a similar description here concerning Aaron's rod budded. That's written in Numbers 17:8. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. See that similarity? Now, in the almond tree, we have the symbol of resurrection life. The almond tree is the first of all trees to bud in Israel. Therefore, each year it carried the message of life out of death. Life out of death. So in the rod of Aaron, we get the same message. It was once alive, then it was dead, and finally came to resurrection life, bearing a bud, flowers, and almond fruit. Now Aaron, being the high priest, was a type of Christ. As a type of Christ, the same ornamentation God used for Aaron's rod, he repeated in the ornamentation of the candlestick in the holy place, which speaks to the same truth of Christ. Jesus is our rod of God. You know, he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron, and he also says, you're going to help him. Are you ready? Are you ready to rule with a rod of iron? Some parents can't rule with a rod at home. You know? Maybe that's why we're given the rod at home, to learn how to rule with a rod of iron. I'm not going to beat my kids with a rod of iron. I'm not told to. But Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. He's our rod. He's our high priest. Now, remembering that Aaron's rod budded, flowered, and bore fruit shows us the Godhead portrayed in the candlestick as follows. Aaron's rod budded, which is represented in the candlestick by a knopf. That's what that knopf means. It's the bud. And it's described as a swelling. See, you women who have had children, you bud, don't you? All of a sudden, you start swelling. What's happening here? It's a bud. You know, same God. God has a creation very similar all over the place. You see a bud and you say, yeah, something's coming. It's a mark of a bud. Aaron's rod flowered, which is represented in the candlestick by the flowers of gold. Flowers precede what? Fruit. You see flowers on an orange tree, what do you expect? You expect fruit. And Aaron's rod bore almond fruit, which is represented in the candlestick by the golden bowls, which were fashioned as almonds. So here we see three, that number three, the Trinity. We see the number three played out here, which brings to mind what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The knop, or the round, unopened bud, is the type of the Father God, who is the source and beginning of everything. You see that bud, that's the beginning. In the beginning, God created. The central flower is a type of the Son of God who was crushed as a flower emitting a sweet-smelling savor. You know, you go out into the garden and you find some flowers and you crush them. Bring your fingers to your nose. Gives you a sweet-smelling savor. How did you do that? Well, you released the oils from the petal, but you crushed the flower. Well, that was the gift of the flower, that sweet-smelling savor. And then the almond bowl is a type of the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and produces fruitfulness in the people of God. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, remember that? Where does it come from? Well, it comes from the Spirit, God's Spirit. So we see the fullness of the Godhead typified by the bud, the flower, and the fruit of the golden candlestick. There's nothing in the tabernacle that's casual. Everything has a message. God expects us to look and study and see the message. You know, another interesting feature of the candlestick is the truth revealed through the combination of numbers involved with it. All numbers in Scripture have significance, and the candlestick is full of numbers. Boy, it's a mathematician's treat. You know, you could use the candlestick in arithmetic, teachers, when you're teaching. All the numbers. Now, the candlestick was to be of one piece of gold. One piece. Oh, the craftsman said, I can make it out of several pieces. It's much easier. But God said, one piece. I don't want your ideas. The significance being that the number one displays the unity, the oneness, the one accord, the one body, the one church, the one Savior. There were three knops where the branches joined the main shaft, and three knops on each of the branches. Of course, the number three we've discussed already, the significance of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three knops upheld all the seven branches as the very foundation. You know, we have a foundation upon which we stand that will never fail us. You know, take heart, Christian. You have a foundation upon which you stand that regardless of the earthquakes, regardless of the tsunamis, regardless of the radiation, regardless of comets coming out of the sky, your foundation will never be destroyed. Godhead is the foundation and upholder of all things. Now there were seven lamps. The number seven is significant of fullness, completeness, and perfection. Upon the seven branches were seven lighted olive oil-fueled lamps of fire. These seven lamps, we think, are significant of seven spirits upon the Messiah as promised in Isaiah 11, 1 through 4. We read that passage, but I'll remind you of those seven spirits, for it says he will have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. You know, we're made in his image. We ought to have those spirits. How do you get those spirits? Well, you get them out of the Word of God. You trust in God and you grow in the spirits of the Lord. Do you have the spirit of wisdom? Do you have the spirit of understanding, of might, of knowledge, of the fear of the Lord? Those are the seven spirits that are signified by the seven lamps. We also see the number nine prominent in the candlestick being arrived at by the groups of threes. Three bowls, three knops, and three flowers. Nine is prominent concerning the Holy Spirit of God, for we are told there are nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. You know, God gives you the fruit of the Spirit. You don't say, well, you know, I got four of the fruits of the Spirit. I think that's enough. Nobody else in the church has more than four. I think I'll settle on four. No, God gives you the fruit. Nine aspects. And then there's nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, when we examine carefully the prescribed bowls consisting of an almond, a knop, and a flower, they're described as bowls, but they consist of three things. An almond, a knop, and a flower, repeated three times on each branch. Then there are nine objects on each branch. Nine times three branches equals 27 objects on each side of the main shaft, which means that there's a total of 54 objects on the branches. 27 over here and 27 over here. The shaft itself has four bowls. There's three bowls that uphold the branches, and then there's another bowl, it says. Each bowl consisting of an almond, a knop, and a flower, totaling 12 objects. Total all the objects of the candlestick, 54 on the branches, and adding 12 for the shaft, total 66 objects. Now, what's that number mean? 66 objects. Well, there's 66 books of the Bible. That's one interesting number. I don't know if the Lord here in the candlestick is referring to the 66 books of his word, but it's interesting that if you add one side, the 27, to the 12 items on the shaft, you get 39, which is the number of books in the Old Testament. And then the remaining 27 on the other side is the number of books in the New Testament. Now, 39 books plus 27 books equals 66 books of the Bible. Now, we have to be careful about making dogmatic statements about numbers, for numbers can be arranged in a lot of ways, but I find this interesting arithmetic, at least. Because what better object in the tabernacle to symbolize God's completed word than the candlestick, which emits light to the holy place? This is the candlestick. God's Word. The light of the Holy Spirit illumines the 66 books to the church. The number 6 is significant, for it's the number of man. Man was created on what day of the week? The 6th day. So this light that God displays in the candlestick symbolizes God's gift to fallen man. The 66 books constitute God's book, which is the only book of divine light for man. There were not 66 separate parts. There were 66 ornaments fashioned out of one piece or talent of gold. Why one piece of gold, God? Right here, I want you to know that this is one book. I like the Psalms. I read the Psalms. No, God says read it all. God says study it all. Don't major on one part. Seek the whole counsel of God. Rightly divide the word of truth. The word, singular, this is the word. So the word, the Bible, is the essential word of God. Jesus taught the unity of the scriptures in their testimony to him, where he said in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, thy word." This is God's word in its entirety. There is only one light for my path. You know, the world proclaims that there are many, many, many lights. Every religion says, "I have the light. We have the light. Or at least our light is as good as your light." The Bible proclaims that to be false. The Bible proclaims that to be satanic. The Bible proclaims that there is only one way to God, and that way is a God-provided way, for the natural man knows not the way. How do you get to heaven? I don't know. Did you know before the word was given to you? I don't know. There is only one candlestick of beaten gold. There is only one Ark of the Covenant. There is only one mercy seat, one table of showbread, one table of incense, one laver, one altar, one door to the courtyard. Everything about the tabernacle speaks of one, and the New Testament confirms that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of that one and only begotten Son of God, that one name, Jesus Christ. One candlestick of beaten gold. That's why God said one. Take your ideas of many parts, many lights, and come to the scriptures and find out there's only one light, the light of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for the candlestick. What a picture you've given to us of Jesus Christ. What a picture you've given to us of the Godhead. What a picture you've given to us, Father, of how we fit in to your plan. We're so thankful, Father, that we can walk in the light of the scriptures. Do bless our pastor, Lord, as he preaches to us this morning. Help us have a wonderful day today, trusting in you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.